Hey guys, I'm Richard Fitzgerald. This is Dubai Works, where we interview the business leaders making a difference in this great city.
That business with scalability was very interesting to me.
I like building something that has legacy.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Dubai Works Business Podcast. This week, I have a very honorable guest, Rizwan Sajjan, the founder and chairman of Danube Group. Over the last 27 years, the company has charted a path that transformed from being one shop and one employee to a global company with over 3,500 employees, 50 locations in 9 countries worldwide, including UAE, Kuwait, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, Africa, and India. Danube Group occupies more than 5.5 million square feet of land in Jebel Ali Free Zone. The warehouses across UAE stock more than 50,000 products, and the company recorded a turnover of $1.3 billion in 2019. Wow, what a success story. On this week's show, though, we're really interested to talk to the chairman about how the group has brought back salaries, the first company in the Middle East to not just bring back salaries, but to pay back the salaries cut during COVID-19, and then touch a little bit on how they built this building company, and also Rizwan himself being an inspiration for many entrepreneurs. So thank you so much for your time, Rizwan.
Thank you, Richard, for having me over here.
So we heard through Love in Dubai, our sister company and brand, that the whole Danube Group, so all those employees I mentioned, have had a special news that they're getting all the salaries that they so generously gave up during the global pandemic, that they've been returned that. And we, you know, not only across the Middle East, but we haven't even heard this in US news that companies doing that. So is it true, and can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You know, what happened is, Richard, the whole company, which I always feel is built by my people over here. It's like Tom Ford saying it, like, take back, burn my building, burn my factory, but keep my people back. I'll again make the whole, again make the Ford cars running for you.
Yeah.
It's the same way with my employees also. They are the ones who are working day and night, giving for the company. And this was the first time in my life that I've ever cut salary of somebody. It was really bothering me, hurting me. But as the time went forward further, we started going into the market, motivating the people, getting the business a little bit back on track, not as much as what it was the pre-COVID layer. But it was not bad. We were able to survive and manage. And then one day I decided with all the management team, I'm not going to hold this salary, whatever salary which is detected, let us pay back. So this was a gesture of goodwill, which I'm very happy that I've made that decision, because I know that God will reward me more than that.
That's amazing. So it was a 30% cut, and the employees actually stayed with the company. They understood it was a big global pandemic, and that they wanted to support the company, and you know, so it's really an employee initiative. And then the company has got together, the board, and decided to return that in kind.
Yeah, see, initially, if you remember, when the COVID started, a lot of people were firing people. So the first statement we had made at that particular time, that we're not going to lay off any people in the company. Now, that was a big motivating factor for anybody who was working for me, because the majority of the people had an insecurity of the job. Now, when they knew that, yes, we are not going to be laid off, they really went out, all out, and they worked so hard in the COVID. Poor guys, you know, in the full COVID, they used to go in there with the mask and covered completely and trying to get orders from me. And that was really helpless.
Amazing. Yeah, and you mentioned, Riz, in 27 years or the whole company, that you never had to do this before. How serious did you think this was in March, or how much of an impact was it? Or was it unprecedented?
Well, in March, when this whole thing was announced, we had no idea how this is going to impact us. I had almost thought that whatever money I've made in the last 27 years is all wiped out in the next 9 months. Wow. The next 1 year. But God has been kind. Our industry was not as badly affected as the other industries. The construction, because of the expo which is happening and the other projects which are happening around the GCC, industry was running. Like I said, it was not as a pre-COVID level, but yes, it was running to a manageable way, and that's how we've got back into the track. But we were lucky enough that God's blessings were there that our industry was not as affected like the hospitality or the other aviation industry and all that.
Interesting. So it's the 11th of November. I think some companies maybe returned the salaries, the temporary cuts, or they brought it back maybe at some point. But not only have you done that, you've decided to pay back. Has that given you confidence in the market that, you know, rather than waiting till the end of the year and to see the final books and accounts or to do it that way, you've decided to do it now? Does that mean that that you're happy with the performance of the company this year, or is it more?
Like I said, the performance is good enough, not as good as the pre-COVID level, but good enough for me to sustain. And if you remember, in India, we celebrate Diwali.
Yes.
So this was a festive season. I said, what better time it could be than distribute before the Diwali. So, you know, we have a majority of the non-Muslims working with us, so they're very happy with this.
Amazing.
It's like a big bonus there.
Amazing. So that's a nice gesture. That makes sense now. That's really kind. That's really good. So basically, for people who are familiar with your brand in different ways, whether it's through buildings or the construction or also the Danube home, the retail spaces that we shop in, can you just give a little bit of a context and to the scope and the size of the company?
Well, Danube has major big three verticals. The first one, which was the Danube building material, which was formed 27 years ago, that today is by far the, I would say, the number one building material company in the whole region. Then 2008, exactly like how we have this pandemic crisis, we had the Lehman Brothers crisis at that particular time. 2008-2009, my first store was opened during the crisis because I had already conceived that idea about the Danube home much before. And when we opened the store, everybody was thinking this boss has gone mad, that everybody is firing people and left and right, people are closing down their business and he's expanding his business. But anyway, I had to go out and open it because everything was ready over there. Danube Home was established in 2009. Danube Home deals in all the interiors and home furnishing of the material which is required in the house. So, you know, after that, in 2012, we started our property business. 2012, 2013. So 7 years ago, we started our property business because at that time, the market settled down after the problems, the RERA came into the effect, all the escrow accounts were formed. I said, this is the right time to start the property business. So as you look at the whole vertical of the Danube, we sell the building material, we sell the home furnishing, and if you want the house, we also make the house for you.
Amazing. So
complete package.
Amazing. So almost like Apple or Google, except in the property construction building space.
Absolutely.
That's really clever. It's really good. And it's also interesting strategically. We see people trying to introduce new verticals. Is it hard in your experience, irrespective of externalities like a global financial crisis or a pandemic? Is it hard to, you know, obviously the building materials, you know, the margins, you know, the distribution, you know, the factories, you know what's required, but to have retail space in a mall is something different. How do you kind of approach a new business unit?
What happens is when you start any business, there are challenges over there, and over the time you learn over the challenges. And like I mentioned before, we have a very good professionals working for us, and they were able to overcome the challenges faster for us. And today, if you go to any of my Danube home stores, Richard, I want you to try this. Go as a surprise visit for me, and then you see the service level you will get over there. The people are so much motivated that they won't let you go until you buy something from there. And after you buy from there, they'll ensure that you get a full service over there.
I'm sure as well they're extra motivated today on this positive news. But no, that's really interesting, and I can see that that's part of the culture, and those type of things from the service level might lead to decisions like this. So it's very
absolutely
interesting.
And in Danube Beam is the only store in the whole of GCC where you can get everything. Like if you go to all my competitors over there, somebody might be only selling furniture, or somebody might be only selling bathrooms over there, or somebody might be selling only wallpaper. Here you go, you get A to Z. I mean, you get your wall covering, you get your curtains, you get your flooring, you get your glass, doors, windows, furnishing, garden furniture. Everything under one roof. So you just enter the shop and when you take a new house, you just go there and pick up whatever you want, and all the accessories what you require, like the bed sheet, the pillows, the cutlery, everything under one roof you get to furnish your house.
That's amazing. I pay more attention to it now that I understand the background. But just in terms of Danube Group, and I mentioned JASA, is that where all the materials for the region comes through? Is that where the main sort of warehousing is?
Our main warehousing, you're talking about Danube warehousing, right?
Yeah.
Where Danube warehousing is mostly in Jabal Ali and Technopark, where we have more than 5 million square feet of warehousing, proper logistic facilities. And from there, we distribute to the different areas of the USCR, like Kuwait, Qatar, and all that.
So you really see Dubai as a structural hub for the region?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how is the offerings in the different countries? Is the brand at different levels there? Do you have the building materials? And do you have Danube Home in all the different countries as well?
Absolutely. We have Danube Home in Kuwait, in Bahrain, in Oman. We have very good operations of Danube Home. So majority of the places we have our Danube Home operations also, and including India also we have Danube Home.
Okay, amazing. I want to touch on entrepreneurship and some of the acknowledgements.
We just have to talk about one more vertical, which is the properties.
Oh, yes,
I just want
please.
To mention, you know what happened was when we started this properties, it was a very tough time because everybody was selling the properties and majority of the properties were sold of a very, all the villas and high properties were sold or big values properties were sold in the market.
Yeah.
But then we thought to ourselves, let us not do something everybody is doing. Let us focus on 80% of the expats who are still living in the rented apartment.
Okay.
And we decided to focus on them and came out with a smaller pricing apartment. That means if you go to Danube Properties, we start our apartment from 300,000 dirhams only. Because I wanted that people who are staying in the rented apartment, for example, if anybody is staying in a studio apartment, would rather take that 300,000 dirhams and buy their own apartment of his own. Now, that also was a challenge because majority of the expats don't have this money of 300,000 dirhams to pay. And how do we do that? So we came out with a plan of only paying 1% per month. That means you pay 30,000 dirhams as your down payment, and then you pay 1% for me, 1% per month for the 6, 7, 8 years. So absolutely, there's no burden on the finance for the expat, and you are getting your own property to stay in it.
Amazing.
And that was a major success because majority of the people who were staying in the rented apartment, they started buying the property.
So do you offer the financial product or is that because you're the developer so you can do that arrangement with the clients?
That's good. I do the arrangement with my bank and I pass it on to the customer.
Okay, very interesting. But again, showing innovation in the retail space, but I think it's inspiring to see that there's a cohort of people that you've identified that can have a new offering in the market and create a business model around it.
That's correct.
And Rizwan, we often, I know you have Danube in India as well. And of course, it's a country that's a large population compared with the UAE, but also very close to here. And in recent years, it's known globally as a real emerging market. There's a lot of investments. There's a lot of big economy coming out of India. How do you see that relationship between the GCC and India in terms of business? Do you think that they can grow successfully together?
India is a huge market, but also a very challenging market. It's not an easy market. I mean, as much as people think that India is an easy market, no, because the competition level is very high. There are a lot of other complications to be. But again, these all challenges can be overcome. But if you enter India, I mean, there is no looking back. If you're successful over there, the market is so big that it can make the business can grow 10 times over there. It's just that you need to find the correct formula and to ensure that you work with that formula and be successful. We just entered India 1.5 years ago. So we're just trying to still study the market. And once we are ready, we'll go all out and in all the cities in the India market.
How did you enter it? With your three verticals or one at a time?
Only at the Danube Home. Only as Danube Home because we felt there's a huge scope for retail. And we opened our first shop in Hyderabad 1.5 years ago.
Okay, interesting. So as you said, you're kind of dipping your toe in and ready to go all in. And does each...
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very interesting to hear and to see that Dubai is a springboard for such a big market and opportunity in India.
Opportunity is huge, but challenges are also huge. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk for me. But yes, we are working towards it. We hired some very important people, very professional people. And I'm sure they'll work out some formula that's going to be successful. So the model is very successful in GCC, just that we have to replicate and a little bit of changes over there and make it happen.
And what about, there's an issue with Zoom. Sorry. What about Saudi Arabia? Is that a market that you're looking at as well?
Saudi Arabia, we're already there.
Okay.
It's not in a big way, yes, but we're already over there. And it's a good market to be in. I love Saudi Arabia because the market is big. The people are there. They have money also.
Yeah.
So we will also be expanding over there. But at the moment, we have a small presence over there. Our major focus is now in the whole UAE market, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, and Kuwait.
Okay, interesting. It's great to hear. It's inspiring talking to you about, you know, emerging middle classes and obviously wanting homes and property and aspirational. And Rizwan, I have a list of acknowledgements that you've received. I don't want to kind of flatter you because, but, you know, top 50 most powerful Indians in the UAE by Arabian Business, listed number 7 of the top Indian leaders in the UAE by Forbes, Middle East acknowledgements from Gulf Business, Star Business Leadership Award 2017, Visionary of the Year, CEO Awards, Hamad bin Rashid Al Maktoum Business Excellence Award. I could go on.
That's enough.
I know. I didn't want to flatter you, but I just wanted to set the context because, you know, you really are an inspirational leader. And what sort of advice do you have for entrepreneurs, or people who want to emulate that success?
I think always one thing I always, when I go for any of this talks where I have to give that inspirational talks, the most important thing which I would tell everybody is there is no shortcut to success, because everybody thinks that, you know, they want to make the money very fast. So that's not going to happen. You need to start slowly, and most important, try to gain an experience in whatever field you want to be. You want to become a restaurant owner, or you want to become a fashion designer, or you want to become anything except. But you need to take an experience working in a good company. Make sure that you know in and out. For example, if you want to start a restaurant, make sure you work in the kitchen, you work in the you work as a waiter over there. Understand the whole thing, what the customer sentiments, customer, and then decide to have your restaurant. And then it will be much easier for me. Like when I started this business of building material, I had worked for Mansur for 8 years, and that's where I earned the experience from a counter salesman to become the manager of the company. So exactly, I knew what's happening. How do I manage the business? And it was easy when I started my own business. Although I didn't have the money, but the experience taught me as to how to move forward with every challenge which I faced.
It's very interesting you mentioned. Was there another option back then? You know, were people doing VC or startups or trying to make the quick buck? Or was the way that you did it the way that was kind of the only option at the time to kind of work hard and organically?
Option means when we started the business, it was I started as a broker. I didn't have the money. The only money which I had was 100,000 dirhams, which I saved from my 8 years of working. That 100,000 dirhams I put into a brokerage company. For that, I bought rented an office, bought a car for me, made a trading license, and which 50,000-60,000 dirhams already gone with that. And 30,000-40,000 which was remaining, I told my wife, this is the 6 months of our savings, which we need to use it. Very carefully to buy your ration, because after that I will not have that money.
Wow.
And in 6 to 7 months, if I don't make this money, then I'll start looking for a job. And that's how I started my company.
Amazing. I love the way you remember all the exact numbers as well. True. It shows very, very business acumen. But
yeah, because I've been speaking about this many times. It's back of my mind that what I had in mind and what I spent and what I exactly gave it to my wife to manage that for 6 to 7 months of that time.
Amazing. How important do you think is that entrepreneurial spirit in India and the UAE and the GCC? Do you think that this is the fundamental of, you know, an improved economy and prosperous life for people in the future in this region?
It's a very good thing. If you feel that you have the quality of becoming an entrepreneur, you should try. Of course, today is not the right time to go into an entrepreneurship, because markets are much more challenging. But when the market improves after a couple of years, yes, if you have that quality in you, you should definitely try at the right age, because after you cross 40, 45, then if you try and if you fail, then you are in a bigger problem. So the right age for you to try as an entrepreneur should be in the range of 30 to 35, or 30 to 40, I would say. Because by 30, you have gained some experience. And before that 40, if you try, you have a chance, because you have that energy level, you have that vision, that your brain is working more stronger, and you can definitely do it better compared to what you would do after 50.
Interesting. And how do you still innovate? How do you still stay on top of it and the size of the company and the different verticals? Do you empower leaders throughout the business?
Like every vertical which we have the top professionals managing over it, and they are on top of it. Like example, Denim Home or Denim Building Materials or Denim Properties. If you have to take Denim Home or Denim Building Materials, people travel across the world to different exhibitions trying to figure out what are the new products coming in the market. We try to introduce the market. We have the consultants. We talk to them on a regular basis. Ensure that you know our products are used not only in the Burj Khalifa apartment, but also even to a small villa owner, this product goes to them. In the properties also, we have a very top professional working over there, Mr. Atif, who is my partner in that company. Now, he also is on the top of the world. If you talk, call him at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, he'll be working and making sure things are in order. So
very good work
ethic. We have to be, today is the time where you cannot take it anything easily. More challenging times, so much more hard work is required for everything you do.
Okay, amazing. And in addition to this news that we heard, it was you also said that you're hiring again now. So that's also bringing confidence back into the market. Is that kind of recognizing the current climate we're in, or is it, you know, are you confident about a vaccine? And how do you view sort of the next few years in the region?
Why we are hiring is, you know, we are not expanding anything. We are not opening many stores or anything like that. In these 6-7 months when everybody was at home, I mean, we were not traveling. Otherwise, what was happening is out of the 30 days, you're traveling 15 days, then you're busy in your expansion and all that. But this particular 6-7 month time, there was a lot of time to think, consolidate, figure out where are the chances, more expansion possible in the same business which we have. Okay. Like, for example, we have a flooring division, but okay, we decide, okay, flooring, we have a certain division, but we are not targeting the projects. So we need to hire some people who will go for the project. So that way, there were so many opportunities in our own business, which was missing. We were doing well, but because we realized when we analyzed that there is a problem, this is the competition who is doing so much business in that particular field, which we are missing out in. What is he doing? So let's figure out. And then we started analyzing the whole thing and I said, okay, let's do with the own whatever right resources we have, we want to make it at the moment maybe at 60%, we probably try to make it 70-80% so that, you know, and that is the reason we're hiring more people.
Okay.
Rather than opening new stores or opening new properties and all that.
It's investing in your existing business units and models and reinvesting in the business, as we've seen with the salaries giving back. So just a final question, I won't take up too much of your time, but there's some trends in prop tech and different types of concepts in the US about quickly built up apartment units and houses of prefab things. And how do you view those sort of trends and how do you assess them as a leader?
Yes, that trend might come. At the moment, it has not come because we haven't got the approval from the authorities over here. But eventually, it will come over here, bring that for prefab houses and the fast-moving houses. But for some reason, we haven't got the approvals yet, and we are watching it very carefully, discussing with the authorities. As soon as we have it, we'll go.
You're keeping a close eye on it, as I would expect. Rizwan, it's a pleasure talking to you, and you know, I it's great to see the positive news, and that's what Love in Dubai is all about. So congratulations to all the employees of Danube Group, and I hopefully they will contribute to the economy, and we'll all have a good nice Diwali that passed, and also a festive period for everyone.
And I also want to congratulate Love in Dubai. You guys are doing a wonderful job giving us the news across the whole what's happening in Dubai and across the world. So keep up the good work. Please congratulate the whole team from my behalf.
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All the best. That's it for another episode of Dubai Works. Thank you so much for listening. And please leave a review on the podcast platform that you're listening to. It really helps with organic searches. Also, if you'd like to appear on Dubai Works or know someone who has an inspiring business story in Dubai, please do get in touch on any of the smashy social platforms.